Good morning and welcome to Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we begin our time together with Naturally 7 and Let It Be.
Lord, I thank for this day we've come together, that our hearts and minds reflect you.
As always, I'd like to applaud you for taking the next 45 minutes or so out of your busy Sunday as we consciously choose to come together in our e-community to deepen in our communication and connection to the source of all that is, God in us as us. And the theme this morning is reflecting the need, the inherent need in each and every one of us for belonging. To belong, we need to be included. And we can see in our world that pervades a lot of exclusion as opposed to inclusion. The exclusions are formed by our biases. Biases is a form of prejudice against something, someone, a group, someone that we consider different from us. And biases are usually either conscious, also known as explicit, or unconscious, implicit. And these biases are not just limited to one's race, or culture, or religion. These biases can relate to a group, or one's age, or gender, whether you have a visible or invisible physical disability, your sexual orientation, your weight. There are so many variations on our biases that perhaps sometimes we're not even aware of them. Because our biases are formed, as I've said and shared often, from growing up, from our childhood, things we've observed in the family, things we've accepted as part of the culture or the society that we've grown up in. And these biases can be triggered, in ways unconsciously that we are aware of. There are so many unconscious biases that we hold about social stereotypes, about certain groups of people, that is even outside our conscious awareness. And it is this thing that I've recognized as I was digging down deeper into this. It is said that there are 9 types of unconscious bias. I find that number quite staggering. But I also recognize that I, like most of you probably, have some one or more of these unconscious biases. The first one is affinity bias, where you gravitate towards people who are like you, whether it's based on appearance or background or belief or social standing. And it's where we feel most comfortable with those that we consider like ourselves. I have a wide variety of groups of friends of all races and cultures, but I know I feel most at home when I'm with women that are black like myself, because we have a shared experience that people who are not of the same skin tone will experience. So I know that I do partake in having a certain affinity bias. Then there's appearances bias. And we make snap judgments based on how people look. I saw something on Instagram this week where a personal trainer was commenting how Adidas had used models that were really my size and above, real plus figure girls. And the people had commented saying how dare they use these obese people? Are they advertising obesity? And that they were now going to switch their loyalty to Nike. And he was commenting on how it took a lot of courage for women who are big to go to the gym, never mind to receive such negative feedback. But people do. It's incredible that people are judging you by your looks all the time. There's beauty bias, where people think people like the Kardashians are the epitome of what beauty is. Or weight bias. And until recently, whenever you saw a model, they were very skinny and gaunt-like, and now we're actually having models that reflect the whole diversity of the race and the culture. Well, of course, there's height bias. Tall people are more likely to be perceived as authoritative and leader-like, whereas shorter individuals, particularly the men, are likely to encounter negative height bias. It's only, I remember, I've forgotten the film. The first time I saw a film with a man that was under 5 foot in, and now it's become more acceptable. Then you have confirmation bias. This is where we have existing beliefs and values, which is confirmed when we find those that are similar to us, or we interpret the new information that we already believe. It's just confirming what we thought was already right. I remember very, very long time ago, I was in Oxford Street late night shopping, and it was when British Home Stores were still open. And I had put my basket in the aisle. There wasn't anybody in the store hardly. And then I saw somebody trying to maneuver around the basket, so I pulled it out of the way and I apologized to her. And she muttered that you people were all the same. My act had caused her to believe that you people, and she was referring to me as a black woman, were all alike. Not only did I find her remark offensive, I wanted to demonstrate to her just if I was the you people, what she might have experienced. But I rose above it. Then there's attribution bias. This is a bias that correlates people's actions, unrelated or even untrue. This bias causes people to make inferences about the causes of events or behaviors without necessarily considering all the facts. You could say that that woman too had attribution bias, because she wasn't considering what was happening. She just made the assumption. And of course, we all know there's gender bias. This unconsciousness of unintentional associations based on a person's gender. And this is just based on traditions and values and the culture and social norms. I think we've all been seeing what gender bias looks like in Iran. And it's not just Iran. We have it here in the West. We have it globally, to which we've spoken many times on the Sunday Soul. And then there's age bias. When we make judgments about an individual's based just upon their age. Being young, we sometimes state that they lack experience or judgment, or if you're old, we equate it with being out of date or behind the times. I know there are times that I definitely express age bias. When I'm dealing with a young person, maybe at the checkout or in the shop, and you can see that they're unprepared to be of any real assistance. Age bias definitely kicks in. Then there's authority bias. This is a bias where we place more weight on the opinion of what we consider an authority figure. Similarly, authority bias can lead people to treat people in positions of authority more favorably than those that don't hold such high-level positions. And I think that's necessary. We can all say that when we think about going to the doctors. We always assume that whatever the doctor is telling us is the right information, or that they're beyond making mistakes. We hand over our power to them, believing that what they say is true and accurate. That is a form of authority bias. And then the last two is the halo effect and the horn effect. And the halo effect is where we have a tendency to use an overall positive impression of something to influence our judgment of their characters. And sometimes the halo effect happens with the first impression. Before we really learn and know and understand them, we just take a tidbit of information about that person and think that's the whole truth about them. And it's the opposite with the horn effect. Again, we take something that's negative and make that judgment about them, and that makes us assess them based on this one experience. So as I said before, we all have one or more of these unconscious biases. The conscious bias, the explicit bias, we're well aware of, more obviously and more openly. But our unconscious, our implicit biases, are the things that are percolating in our consciousness without us being fully aware, without us giving the recognition that and owning it. It's only as always I share here on the Sunday Soul, it is only as we can see something, as we can acknowledge it, can we bring it up to be healed. We have to recognize there's an issue, that there's a problem, that there is a situation that needs our attention. Then can we heal it? And it's sometimes easy to justify our biases based on our experiences or what's happened to us or what we've done ourselves. But it always comes back to me when I think about looking to the example, the way Sho was a teacher, how he handled things. His message was simple. He said, "This is the commandment that I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you." He didn't say love them only if they look like you, or love them if they're the same height, same sex, same age, same race, same culture as you. He gave us an unconditional commandment to love. And whilst I recognize that the word love is sometimes loaded for people, then just let us accept that we are to be kind, that we need to include, that we need to remember that we belong to one another. My sacred text this morning, I have a few to share with you. The first one is from Jainism. It says, "Consider the family of humankind, one." The second is from the Shinto tradition, which says, "All ye under heaven, regard heaven as your father, earth as your mother, and all things as your brothers and sisters. The next is from the Quran. O mankind, we created you from a single pair of male and female, and made you into nations and tribes that you might know each other, not that you might despise each other. Verily, the most honored among you in the sight of God is he who is most righteous. And from the New Testament, Romans 12:1, if it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. James Baldwin described this well when he said, each of us helplessly and forever contains the other, male in female, female in male, white in black, black in white. We are part of each other. You see, when we can at least recognize our biases, conscious and unconscious, and seek to heal and do better each day. I never pretend and never admonish anyone. My thing is always being each day to try and do the best we can and acknowledge that there are days when we will do better than others, and that's okay, because we keep striving on. As I repeatedly remind you and myself, the spiritual path is not for the faint-hearted. It requires effort and persistence on a moment-to-moment basis. My story that I want to share with you this morning says Teresa Degnier was born into this world without arms. She has learned to do everything with her feet. Needless to say, in carrying out her daily routine, she sometimes draws people's attention. She says, I have a visible and exotic disability. It makes me look different, and that's a plus. She says, revealing her sense of humor. Dania is an energetic person whose condition led her to become an advocate for the rights of the disabled. A professor of law and disability studies in Germany, she is also a member of the UN Committee on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. Excuse me. The committee monitors the Convention of the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, which came into force in 2008, and commits states to promote, protect, and ensure the full and equal employment of all human rights and fundamental freedoms of persons with disabilities, and to promote respect for their inherent dignity. Dania contributed to the preparation of the background material used in the drafting of the convention and was part of the negotiation process leading to its adoption. She recounts her experience growing up as the youngest of six children in a small village in Germany. My father was the doctor of the village, she says, and when it was time for me to go to school, the authorities informed him that, according to the laws, I had to go to a special school. Take me to prison, her father told the authorities, but my daughter will go to a regular school. He even then threatened not to treat the mayor's children when they got sick if the authorities did not reconsider. Dania said, smiling, and she was finally admitted to the regular school. I've always attended regular school, she said. If it were not for my parents or the opportunity I had to go to a regular school, I would not have become a lawyer. Inspired by her personal experience, she focuses today on the rights of disabled children to obtain a proper and inclusive education. Inclusive education is based on the principle that all children learn together, wherever possible, regardless of difference, states a UN report on the right to education of persons with disabilities. By taking into account the diversity among learners, inclusive education seeks to combat discriminatory attitude and create welcoming communities. In this way, says the report, educational systems should no longer view persons with disabilities as problems to be fixed. Instead, they should respond positively to pupil diversity and approach individual differences as opportunities to enrich learning for all. Special schools are often based on the belief that persons with disabilities are uneducable and are a burden on the mainstream educational system. The practice of separating students with disabilities can lead to a greater marginalization from society. The situation that persons with disabilities face generally thus entrenching discrimination. Special education is less qualified than mainstream education, says Denya. Exclusion from the education system is a serious violation of human rights. Ultimately, inclusive education can lead to better learning and outcomes for all children, not just children with disabilities, according to UNICEF. It promotes tolerance and enables social cohesion as it fosters inclusive social culture and promotes equal participation in society. I think that wonderfully demonstrates that if we have, starting from our classrooms when we're going to school, a whole diverse and inclusive range of people with varying abilities, be it physical, be it invisible, be it mental, be it color, be it age, be it, we get to grow up recognizing that they're the same as us. They're not different from us. I had a friend whose grandson had Tourette's, and the family had to fight hard to not have him put in a special school. I met with him the other week, and he's a beautiful and well-balanced, well-mannered, intelligent child. But you know, as soon as you are classed as different in a lesser way, how that impacts and influences what's available to you as you're growing up. We've seen recently, maybe some of you have, some of you haven't, Disney has put out a new film, The Little Mermaid, or it's coming out shortly. And just with the trailer, it's live action as opposed to animated, and as opposed to the cartoon version of the mermaid, which had red hair and was pale, this is a black actor, Halle Berry, who plays Ariel. And you could not believe, or would not believe, the backlash, the fact that a fictional fantasy cartoon figure is now being used as a black person or shown as a black person, has now made people feel that somehow that entitles them to be so rude and so critical and awful. And it's truly tragic. It is truly tragic to see that we have forgotten we do belong to one another, that we are to be inclusive, that we are to recognize that everything and everyone is a part of the divine, is a part of the sacred. We are one. We are one. My poem is entitled A Wish for Acceptance by Carolyn Devonshire. My greatest wish is for humanity, treating each other with civility, regardless of each one's ethnicity. All men should be treated with dignity. Excuse me. For when I hear of discrimination, it generates the greatest repulsion. And so as not to create confusion, every religion deserves inclusion. Judging books by their covers can only bring more hate, intolerance, as hope takes wing. If we could learn to be more accepting, bells of world peace would surely be chiming. So join me now in prayer for acceptance and an end to widespread intolerance. Beyond war, there will be transcendence. Through God's plan, we live in benevolence. My science of mind reading is entitled Independence and Interdependence. The first quote comes from Carolyn Baker. Turbulent times compel us to abandon our infantilized outlook and become reverent. Interdependent, egocentric adults While we are now experiencing the end of growth on many levels worldwide, there is no limit to emotional and spiritual growth. It is the one and only thing we can have as much of as we like. The second quote comes from Ernest Holmes, Ideas of Power. Now suppose that you and all people, while we have independent thinking and are individualizations of God or the universe, each one a little different, are in a reality all using the same mind. There is only one mind. The author writes, we are individualized expressions of the infinite oneness we call spirit. Separation is an illusion, but paradoxically, individuality or independence are aspects of the expression of oneness. We are one with spirit, and yet the power to choose our thoughts and actions out of oneness arises multiplicity. In our relationships, we have independence of people in some ways and interdependence with them in others. We are one with everything that exists. With interdependent relationships across all organic and inorganic matter and energy, we shed and collect atoms constantly. Our bodies contain atoms which have been part of nearly every human who ever lived, as well as atoms which are a part of stars and galaxies, mountains, oceans, and everything else. From a big picture perspective, we exist in an interdependent universe. The intermingling of energy and matter in evolutionary patterns is the essential aspect of our intelligent universe. Creator and creation are one. Imbued with the intelligence to intermix and mingle in the creative process. Independence is but a sliver of our reality. We are interdependent, giving and receiving constantly as we coexist with all of reality. My beloved, to belong is to be inclusive. To be inclusive is to recognize our independence and our interdependence. To be inclusive is to come back to the remembrance that we are one, our oneness with each other, our oneness with all that exists, our wonder, our oneness with the wonder that is God. If you haven't already, I invite you to close your eyes as we go within and enter into the sanctuary of the soul, the monastery of the spirit, where we take our attention away from the world of outer appearances, distractions, and illusions, and place it on the inner world of spirit, the divine reality. And always, I remind you as we bring our attention to our breath, the words of Job. He said, it is the spirit of God that has made me. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life. So let us be conscious as we take the next three deep breaths in, that we are breathing in the life of God, the life of spirit, into our physical form. Inhale, lower the diaphragm, and breathe in the breath of life. Inhale. hold. The third and final time, inhale. As always, we like to take this time to honor the body temple of God, to recognize the emotions we hold in our organs that are both positive and negative. So bring your attention down into the heart, take a moment to acknowledge with gratitude the work that the heart does, as it pumps the life-giving blood around the body. Inhale and affirm, this is my breath as I breathe in love. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out cruelty. Inhale, this is my breath as I breathe in joy. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out impatience. Place your attention at the lower back for your kidneys. Take a moment to acknowledge the work of the kidneys as it takes in the waste and toxic substances out of the body and eliminates them. Inhale, affirm. This is my breath as I breathe in gentleness. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out fear. Inhale, this is my breath as I breathe in calmness. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out stress. Bring your attention and place it on your liver, on the right side of the body, under the rib cage, the largest organ that regenerates itself. Take a moment to acknowledge with grateful thanks the work the liver does as it detoxifies the blood and combats infections. Inhale and affirm. This is my breath as I breathe in kindness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out anger. Inhale, this is my breath as I breathe in generosity. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out frustration. Place your attention on your lungs. Take a moment to acknowledge with gratitude the work of the lungs as it brings in the oxygen from the atmosphere and passes it into the bloodstream. So I remind you from time to time, you can go for days or weeks without food or water, but only moments without the breath. Inhale and affirm. This is my breath as I breathe in honesty. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out depression. Inhale, this is my breath as I breathe in courage. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out sadness. Place your attention on your stomach. Take a moment to acknowledge with gratitude the work of the stomach as it stores the food, breaks it down, mixes, extracts the energy that is necessary for your existence. Inhale and affirm. This is my breath as I breathe in fairness. exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out anxiety. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in trust. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out worry. So let's take a moment to honor all of the systems that function within our body that we are so unconscious of and we take for granted. The skeletal, the nervous, the respiratory, the endocrine, the muscular, the immune, the cardiovascular, the circulatory, the urinary, the integumentary, the reproductive, the digestive system. All of these systems that make you up. So now affirm. The divine within me is wholeness. And my mind reflects this wholeness into every organ, every function, every action, every reaction of my physical being, renewing it after the perfect pattern, the Christ within me. Take a deep breath in as we enter into our circle of prayer. Our teacher said, where two or three are gathered, there shall he be in the midst. Group prayer is a way of amplifying that which is being prayed for. We know that there is nowhere where God is not. God is the spirit, the energy, the life force whose center is everywhere and circumference is nowhere. We are living, moving, and having our being in the mind of God. So we can include anything, anyone that's in need of prayer at this time, knowing that the divine presence is right where they are, and that our words shall not return unto us void, but accomplish wherein they have been sent. Divine beloved, ground of being, thou who art the absolute mystery, the infinite intelligence that is everywhere present, we be consciously come into your presence this morning, asking that you cleanse, purify, and remove the biases that we may be holding against your expressions, your creations, that we may recognize biases that are conscious or unconscious, explicit or implicit, that as we do so, we can heal the tears in our soul. For you created us one expression of your life form in the myriad and various forms. You who are all wise and all knowing, created the diversity that is within us. You that are all wise and all knowing, whose spirit is within every part of creation, sees no division, sees no separation, sees no lesser or greater than. You simply know yourself as each and every one of us, expressing whatever form, gender, age, sex, orientation, and all the myriad ways of life expressing. Touch our hearts, our minds, and souls, that when we start to express any of the biases that we talked about this morning, that we can catch ourselves, that we can turn it around, that we bring it to the light for the healing and the releasing. We understand and recognize it's not a one-off thing, but an ongoing, continuous thing. We are here to be expressions of your life. We are here to give expression for all that you created us to be, which is to love. That was the commandment given to us by our teacher. So remove anything from our hearts, from our consciousness, from our spirit that is not loving, that is not inclusive, that does not belong to you. As always, Mother, Father, God, we hold our world in the circle of prayer. For every person, man, woman, and child, for our government, for all species, winged, finned, hoofed, two-legged, four-legged, for all of life, all that is happening across the globe. We're taking this moment to just see a world where oneness pervades, where peace pervades, where there is no more food scarcity or wars, injustices, greed, or excess. We're holding in our hearts and in our mind's eye a world that works for everyone. So as we place our world before your throne of grace and ask for the healing that it so desperately needs, healing on the spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, financial, psychological level. We know that you who are infinite intelligence knows what to do and how to do it. We also know that we are your vessels, your vehicles through which your spirit expresses through in your hands and feet. So touch our hearts and minds for us to do whatever it's for us to do. Individually, so collectively we make a difference. For anything I fail to ask, I know you will not fail to bless. For your infinite grace, your endless blessings, your eternal mercy, we are ever, ever grateful. And take a deep breath in as we do our movement prayer this morning. Stretch your hands towards the sky, wiggle your fingers and affirm. I open myself to the oneness of all of life. Cross your hands, palms down over your heart and affirm. I radiate love to all who I meet. Bring your hands as if in prayer in front of your lips and affirm. I speak only words that affirm the quality of life I want. Drop your hands to your sides, palms open, and affirm. I'm continuously blessed for all my blessings, seen and unseen. Bend your elbows and make small circles with your wrists and affirm. I let go of any real or perceived shortcomings I may have. Take a deep breath in as I mute the phones for our science of mind reflection and Buddhist meditation. Repeat after me. I am one with the universal creative mind.
I am one with the universal creative mind.
One with every atom.
One with every atom.
Every particle.
Every particle.
Every fluctuation of energy.
Every fluctuation of energy.
Every being.
Every being.
I am of the universe.
I am of the universe,
and it is of me,
and it is of me.
Our Buddhist reflections, if anyone has hurt or harmed me,
if anyone has hurt or harmed me,
knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word or deed,
knowingly or unknowingly, thought, word, or deed.
I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness.
I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness.
If I have hurt or harmed anyone.
If I have hurt or harmed anyone.
Knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word, or deed.
Knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed.
I forgive the past and close the door.
I forgive the past and close the door.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive myself and I'm at peace.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I accept myself and I am free.
I accept myself and I am free.
May I be happy.
May I be happy. May I be peaceful.
May I be peaceful. May I be free.
May I be free.
May my friends be happy.
May my friends be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
May those that challenge me be happy.
May those that challenge me be happy.
May they be peaceful. May they be free.
May they be free.
May all beings be happy.
May all beings be happy.
May they be peaceful. May they be free. Our prayer of intention. I am the light of God within and without.
I am the light of God within and without.
Radiating brightly. I am the love of God within and without.
I am the love of God within and without.
Expressing unconditionally. I am the power of God within and without.
I am the power of God within and without.
Manifesting exuberantly. I am the presence of God within and without, eternal and unending.
I am the presence of God within and without, eternal and unceasingly.
So, my beloveds, our rumination for this week. Rumi says, I belong to no religion. My religion is love. Every heart is my temple. And as it's Black History Month, I'd like to share with you about Frederick Jones. Frederick McKinley Jones was the inventor of a practical refrigeration system for trucks and railroad cars. Frederick Jones patented more than 60 inventions in all. But it is his invention of the automatic refrigeration system for long-haul trucks in 1935 that he's most famous for. A naturally gifted mechanic, one that was self-taught, which helped him to invent a portable air conditioning unit for trucks in 1938. The unit could be used to preserve perishable foods during transport, and the patents Jones were awarded for this product led to the formation of the Thermo King Corporation. His inventions were increasingly vital during World War II, when they were used to transport blood and medicine to the battlefields and hospitals. So my closing benedictions this week for you. Mother, Father, God, may we be open and aware to bless the world's people with welcoming and wholehearted acceptance. May we honor and recognize their uniqueness and behold your sacred worth, expressing in and through them as children of God. May we want for them what we want for ourselves, a world of safety, freedom, and respect. May we always believe and trust that we are one with each other as we are all one with you in spirit. My closing song is one that I have loved for some time, and I'm so happy that I can share it with you this morning. It's by For King and Country, entitled Relate. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Country, relate. My beloved, I wish you a very blessed and happy week until we meet again next Sunday for Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. Peace and blessings.